on things like that is, on the one hand, yeah, I love animals and I hate hearing about endangered species and, you know.
Yeah, but it's not.
But it's like, this is something super, super ferocious.
That's an animal really, that will kill
really
you.
Really dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like if dinosaurs were still around and you were like, no, Tyrannosaurus Rex is endangered. We shouldn't kill them.
Yeah, no. No, don't. No, killing that. Sorry. Sorry. Had your chance, Tyrannosaurus, and you let too many of us live. Yeah, no, I mean, I love bears. I think bears are awesome animals.
But when there's like 10 inches of glass between you and
them. Yeah, well, when they're out in the wild doing their thing. But if you got too many bears, you got too many bears. And if we can, you know, selectively remove a few of them and keep the surviving population healthy and happy, I don't object to that. I don't object to hunting is what I'm saying. I don't have that knee-jerk reaction where it's, you can't kill one of God's creatures. Sure you can. Okay, if it's in my backyard and it's menacing my family, I'm putting that bear down without a second thought.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I would say you hear more stories about bears tearing people apart than you do about them giving them nice warm hugs.
Yeah, yeah. the bears have been getting one over on us for a long time. It's time to even the score. Toby Hooper.
Nope.
You should know who he is. No. No. Toby Hooper, the director of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yes, I do know that.
And Poltergeist.
It sounds familiar. I'm a Wes Craven girl.
Movies, well, even if you're a Wes Craven girl, you should know who Toby Hooper is.
Because, why? So I can be like, Wes Craven is a better horror movie director than Toby Cooper.
No, because the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Hooper, Last House on the Left are roughly contemporary with each other. They belong to that same generation of documentary style art house, grindhouse, in your face, horrifying, realistic, most disturbing movie ever made.
And
motion
one
pictures of the early 70s.
And one is better than the other.
No, they're both they're good in different ways.
At this point, I'm just trying to piss you off.
Toby Hooper passed away at the age of 74.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Yeah, you hear the name and you immediately think Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, see, that's, I've only seen, I'm a different generation than you, Dark. I've only seen the new one with Jessica Biel, which
oh,
was kind of, it was like Saw, but
it wasn't
grosser.
That movie had a couple of moments in it that I thought were pretty good.
Oh, the salt on the wound. That was like the most gruesome thing I've ever seen.
I was thinking more when she was underneath the table while he was sawing up the other guy and the chainsaw blade is coming through at her.
Oh my God.
I was like, ooh, that's scary. I don't know that I could sit there quietly while the saw blade and my friend's guts are pouring all over me under the table.
Fair point.
But Texas Chainsaw, you've never seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I've seen clips of it in film school, but I've never.
You gotta see it.
It honestly seemed like a little, maybe because I haven't seen the whole thing, it seemed more funny. Like, I couldn't really take his mask seriously.
Are you a sociopath?
Frank.
Do we need to address this question? Are you a sociopath, Chase Mullane? Okay. Now we know why you've been. No, it's...
I did make my mom watch Scream 4 the other night.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's not one of my favorite horror movies by any stretch of the imagination, but I have to...
Pay it its due respect.
You've got to give credit to the
influence that it had. Oh, no, and I'm not... Like, that's the thing, is I don't mean to sound disrespectful. Sometimes I do because I'm trying to get Derek's goat.
Yeah.
But no, I can absolutely appreciate that. It's just like, even though it's not my particular cup of tea, it's like comparing the Rolling Stones to the Beatles. Even if you like the Rolling Stones better than the Beatles, you have to respect what they both did.
And Poltergeist scared the heck out of at least three generations of kids now, or two generations of kids.
I've never seen Poltergeist.
I don't know how you've never seen Poltergeist either.
I know the plot points. But.
Poltergeist is one of those movies that kids went to see in the 1980s and they've been afraid of puppets ever since. So that's...
See, maybe that's why I've never seen it. I don't want to be afraid of puppets.
It's a scary movie. It's got clowns in it, too. So it's a scary movie. He also directed Billy Idol's Dancing With Myself video. Have you seen that? Do you know who Billy Idol is?
Yes, I know who Billy Idol is. Well,
that's good.
And it's kind of a ridiculous video.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of horror imagery in it. And he directed Life Force, and he did a bunch of other stuff. But
don't ask me if I know Billy Idol. I haven't seen a few horror movies, but...
The horror movies are definitely... Well, you're a fan, which is why I'm surprised that you don't...
I've seen... That's the thing, is like you named two... Like, two of the maybe five I haven't seen in the genre.
See, the problem is you're a millennial horror fan.
Oh, shut
you are.
Up.
You are.
My favorite's Friday the 13th.
Okay.
And Scream. And all the Screams, actually, because they make fun of horror movies, which I while still being a horror movie, which is genius.
The original Friday the 13th or the remake Friday the
13th? The original Friday the 13th, the one with Kevin Bacon.
The remake wasn't bad, by the way.
The remake wasn't bad, but the original was so much better.
If you know the movies...
Hey, kids, if you're in a horror movie... Don't have sex. That's going to make you die.
But now I'm going
to... Just ask Kevin Bacon.
I'm going to take this a step further. You've never seen a Lucio Fulci movie?
I'm not a director girl. I know names.
You've never seen a Mario Bava movie. You've never seen a Dario Argento movie.
Again, I don't know directors as well as I know names.
Have you ever seen a horror movie that was dubbed in English from Italian?
No, but I saw Vita Bella.
Okay, so you've never seen a movie by
which is kind of horrifying.
You've never seen a movie by one of those three directors, and that's what Friday the 13th is ripping off. Friday the 13th is actually a ripoff of an Italian film called Bay of Blood.
Yeah, just like The Departed is a ripoff of a Japanese movie. I don't like reading while I'm being terrified, Derek.
They're all dubbed in
even
English.
Though I would say, even though read. Italian ones, I could actually probably understand.
If you like Friday the 13th, you will like any Dario Argento movie immensely more.
Now you're just showing off.
Because not only do they have all the great scares and blood and guts, but they are beautifully shot and most of them have decent stories. Friday the 13th is an important horror movie. I'm not taking that away from it at all.
I like the campiness. Like, I like the stupid, and I don't mean campiness because it takes place at camp. I mean, like, I like stupid horror movies. I like when it's just you're sitting there being like, this is ridiculous.
You got to check out some of the Italian stuff.
It makes the rest of life seem less terrible.
You got to check out some of the 70s Italian stuff because you will like it.
Well, I know what I'm doing for the next 4 days.
Nice.
Disneyland Paris.
Disneyland Paris is in France.
Tis.
And it has mice in it.
And?
And, I don't know, if they shut down Zika?
Disneyland Paris apologized after a three-year-old was told he could not take part in Princess for a Day just because he's a boy. Noah, who is a super fan of Princess Elsa in the film Frozen, was buzzing with excitement when he learned about the makeover opportunity at the Disneyland Hotel. The boy's mother, Haley McLean Glass, wrote in an open letter on her blog. The hotel is located near the entrance of the park in the suburbs of Paris. McLean Glass, who is from Devon, England, wrote that she decided to book the experience for Noah as an early Christmas gift. Disneyland Paris' description of the service on the website reads, "Grant every little girl's wish with a real princess makeup and hairstyling session. A fairy tale transformation they'll treasure forever." The mother said she was devastated when she received an email reply back saying, at this time, it is not possible to book Princess for a Day for a boy.
Is this the same Disney Corporation that took a guy named Robert Lee off of covering a Virginia football game last week because they didn't want people being reminded of Charlottesville?
He totally needs to be a princess, too. If you look at a picture of him, I mean...
Yo, fine. The kid wants to get... What is Disney's problem with this?
Honestly, my biggest reaction to this is... So why are you stopping yourself from making money?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal?
Aren't you the same company that spends half your time arguing against, like, gender normative behavior? Because you're trying to appeal to everybody and find new markets for everything you do. And here's a little boy who wants to be a princess, and you're like, nope, can't do that. Give me a break.
Well, that's the thing, is they did release a statement saying it was, like, it almost made it worse, to be perfectly frank. They said it was an isolated incident. And that the cast
and that they don't have other little boys and asking that, for princess
and
for
and that
day?
The response was not reflective of any policy of relief at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
And that they're going to ensure that it doesn't happen again. But it's like...
Sorry, Disney. You already got the bad press.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Joel Osteen, which we'll probably touch on in a few minutes, but where it's like, oh, you're saying you're doing something nice now that everyone hates you? Yeah. Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah. That company drives me up a freaking wall.
That's part of why I love Family Guy, because they make fun of it so hard.
Organic Cheetos.
Organic Cheetos?
Yes.
Are Cheetos now organic?
Maybe.
Cheetos are now organic.
That's not the story. You missed the organic Cheetos?
Evidently.
How about organic Doritos?
Definitely missed that.
Those are among 11 chips with no artificial ingredients, which also includes Tostitos and Lay's chips, coming soon to a Whole Foods near you.
Of course.
Now that Amazon is in charge.
Hey.
The Lay's company, Frito-Lay, has apparently been working on this stuff for a while, and they're going to be called, they're going to be branded as Simply. So, Simply Doritos.
Oh,
Simply
God,
Cheetos,
I'm
going to
barf all over the mic.
Simply Lay's. I didn't see Simply Funyuns. And I'm upset that there may not be Simply Funyuns. Because, really, if you're going to make organic anything, let's get some organic Funyuns out here.
I am getting so... None of you are allergic to gluten unless you have celiac disease. Can I just say that right now while I'm on the air? I'm getting so sick of this.
Like, can we talk about...
You're all ridiculous.
Can we talk about how bad...
And this, I'm a huge hippie.
Can we talk about how bad this is? Now, the rule of...
Yeah, this is gross. It's the whole point of junk food is for it to be junk.
The rule at Whole Foods around here has always been that it's where the ass is silent. This move by Doritos or Frito-Lay and Amazon tells you everything you need to know about the future of Whole Foods. Because Amazon is not going to work with dozens of local farmers and local suppliers to put locally grown, locally produced, locally harvested stuff on the shelves. They're going to work with big companies that have big infrastructure that can meet Amazon's product demands and are willing to work with Amazon on pricing themselves into oblivion so that they can stay on the shelves at Amazon Whole Foods. So all the little guys that you used to celebrate at Whole Foods are back out in the cold, and Jeffrey Bezos is finding more ways to squeeze a buck out of people. By the way, they had their big price drop.
I love you, Amy's Organic. I'm sorry.
They had their big price drop on Monday that Amazon was touting. According to at least one market analyst, average prices went up by about 3%. Some things went down, but...
What, like celery?
Yeah, they dropped the price on some dented canned goods, I think, is what happened. But prices
that's
why, on...
That's how I buy canned goods anyways. I'm like, I found it this way. I'm sorry.
Prices on some products doubled.
Aye, aye, aye.
And the analyst said they're adopting the Walmart strategy of talking about how we have great low prices on everything, but it's just a few things. And it's just there to make you think you're saving when you're actually spending as much as you would anywhere else.
In Soviet America, Amazon screws you.
Simply Doritos, kids, coming soon.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt has raised $5 million from his social media followers for Harvey?
Yes.
For Harvey Relief.
Oh, my goodness.
For Harvey Relief, which is a very cool thing for him to do. He will be able to go and deliver that money in person because he's not playing football tomorrow night. The NFL announced this afternoon that the scheduled game in Arlington between the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans for tomorrow night has been canceled so that members of the Houston Texans can go back and be with their families and support the community.
And it actually, this is, I have like the live, it's up to $6.62 million.
Wow.
He originally had a conservative goal of $200,000. He's now raised it to $10 million.
Awesome. I'd say I came in here because I covered for Chris this afternoon.
Yeah.
I came in here at around 4:15, and it was $5 million at that point. So he's raised he's raised another $1.25 million in the time that I've been on the air tonight. What have I done? I played a record from 82.
Hey, kids, if you want a football player to be a fan of, he's hot and charitable.
Yeah.
Get it. I mean, you're straight as the day is long.
I like that, J.J. Watt.
Look at a picture of J.J. Watt and tell me you wouldn't turn a bit for him.
I like that, J.J. Watt.
Enough said.
Box office.
Box office. I'm sorry, that term just makes me think of...
This would be the Hollywood box office. Movie theaters.
That it's bad? That it's the low numbers? Is that where you're going to get?
Yeah, you're in the wheelhouse on this. We'll give you partial credit. Set a record declined.
Ah. I did hear that the summer was like the worst in terms of, which is weird because it was a hot summer. Usually that gets people into the air-conditioned theaters.
Down 15.7% this summer. That's bigger than the 14.6% drop-off in 2014. There were a couple of summers in there where it was up a little bit, yeah. But you're still talking about big drops. It is the first time in 11 years, so going back to 2006... the Bush 2 administration, that the movies failed to make $4 billion at the box office. They're going to come in at about 3.78.
Yikes.
And the reasons
it's
why.
Fair to say yikes about 3.78 million. Billion, sorry.
New films like King Arthur, Valerian, and The Mummy did not help, nor did Transformers or Pirates of the Caribbean.
Not super shocking.
Fortunately for Hollywood, they're making money overseas, so they can just sort of ignore the faltering American box office. This was a terrible summer for movies. I played the 1982 movies record earlier today. That was an amazing summer for movies. This summer, I think I saw two.
Yeah,
Dunkirk and Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, Wonder Woman. Three. I saw three movies this summer.
I haven't seen a movie since late winter.
You should see the Dunkirks.
How was Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the Galaxy was it was every bit as good as the first one.
I have a deep crush on... I can't even say his name.
Vin Diesel?
I'm so excited. No. On a...
Bradley Cooper?
No. What's his name? Oh my God. Why am I blanking on it? Andy from Parks and Recreation.
Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt. Thank you. I was like, it's Chris something.
Yeah. He's pretty good in that movie.
Mama Likes Tall Boys.
It's a good movie. It's every bit as good as the first. If you like the first one, you're going to love the second one. Highly recommended.
How could you not like the first one? Only a dum-dum wouldn't.
Highly recommended. But Dunkirk is also an amazing movie and something that I know we're going to be talking about on our Oscar show next February.
Yeah. Columbus Day.
Columbus Day. I heard about a Columbus statue that got vandalized. Somebody somewhere is looking to get rid of it as a holiday because Columbus was an exploiter of the native people. Am I correct?
Guess where?
Ohio?
Worse. The Los Angeles City Council.
Oh, of course, California.
Has voted to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day as an official holiday. Council members voted 14-1 to make the second Monday in October a day to commemorate Indigenous, Aboriginal, and Native people. It will be a paid holiday for city employees.
Nobody else gets it off, so who cares?
Yeah.
Call it whatever you want. DMV rest day. Don't try and pick up a license.
It's things like this, not to sound insensitive, but it's things like this that are like, this is why I couldn't stay in Los Angeles. Like, I can't. Everyone is just too butthurt about everything.
The tax everything office is closed an issue. Day.
Like, I'm all for various rights. You listeners, you Derek, everyone knows I am an activist. I stand up for what I believe and I stand up for things. But everything doesn't have to be an issue. Everything is not offensive. Like, sometimes I think that the people are just looking for something to be their next cause instead of actually caring about something.
No, everybody's angry because they realize government doesn't function at all anymore. So if you care about something, it's you against the world. You're on your own.
Well, then care about something meaningful. I'm not saying...
Whoa. Let's not go crazy here. Let's not care about something we might not be able to achieve, like curing cancer or providing opportunities for inner city youth. No, let's change the name of Columbus Day.
Yeah.
And we get that done, and then we can all go home feeling like we've achieved something.
Yeah, that's what I used to love is my friends, people I knew in Los Angeles talking about all the change they wanted to see a block away from Skid Row when they were on my patio. I'm like, you want to go buy a pack of Kind bars and hand them out down there.
Yeah.
You want change? Do that. Don't talk about how your podcast is totally going to change people's minds.
Nobody even gets that day off anymore. Nobody gets Columbus Day off.
Yeah, it's Columbus Day, I forget it even happens. Like that's the thing is, like, that's the most infuriating thing about this is that it's like, I forget Columbus Day is Columbus Day. There are people mad about the name of it when I don't even remember most of the time that it exists.
I take it off because I'm old school.
I take it off because I don't care about my day job.
There you go. 3122
Florence. 3122
Florence? Yes, this is one you should be aware of.
Well, don't make me feel bad, Derek. I mean, that's just rude. I definitely don't know.
No, you need to keep up on your existential planetary threats, because that's generally a good idea if something is going to fall from the sky and kill us all.
Oh, so you're saying it's something nerdy, and that's why I don't know about
3122 Florence is not going to fall from the sky and kill us all, but it is going to buzz us if you consider 4.4 million miles buzzing us. That's how close it is going to get.
Oh, it's like someone throwing a ball in the yard next door.
This is one of those planet ender asteroids that's out there. It is 2.7 miles wide.
Right.
If it hit the planet, it would pretty much kill everything.
That's like 2 miles more than I ever ran in gym class.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this thing is going to fly by us, and it's not actually going to be close to us again until the year 2500. But one of the
we'll still be here, right?
One of the things that's happened in the past when these things go zipping past is we find out that they've got little friends hanging around in back of them, and sometimes those little friends get pulled into our orbit and wind up hitting things. So we're going to be at an elevated meteorite risk, or an elevated meteor risk, after this thing goes by. But anybody who's telling you that the asteroid is coming to kill us,
this isn't an Armageddon situation. And when I say Armageddon, I don't mean like the end of the world.
Right.
I mean like the movie.
As a species, no, it is not coming to kill us. This one's going to miss us, but there might be some little friends to keep an eye on.
Fun. Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin lost. Well, she didn't lose. She had her lawsuit against the New York Times thrown out.
Yep.
By a judge. Who basically said that the Times had not acted maliciously when they wrote an editorial suggesting that a campaign ad Sarah Palin had put out with crosshairs over several Democratic districts, including Gabby Giffords' district, motivated Jared Loughner to shoot Gabby Giffords and kill some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Loughner had never seen the thing. There was no connection. The editorial writer said he was on a tight deadline. They ran a correction the next day.
Mm-hmm. It literally came out online at night. They immediately corrected it online. And then immediately, when the first print was released, corrected it.
I get where Sarah Palin is coming from. Because once you put this thing in the paper...
I mean, it does...
People are going to say, well, the Times said that she's responsible for Gabby Giffords getting shot.
It's not like the Daily News. It's like people will respect the Times.
Yeah, but any newspaper. And it's not like... It doesn't matter how many corrections you run. There are still going to be people who believe that that's what happened.
Yeah.
The problem is the New York Times did everything right in this case. Okay? Somebody screwed up.
Journalistically, at least.
And really, there's a question about whether or not that's what the editorial actually said, or if it was just bad word choice on the part of the editor.
Or if it was just the way that people interpreted it.
The thing about it is, they did the right thing. They published a follow-up correction. Once you do that, you're pretty much off the hook in the United States. You're not going to make a lawsuit stick if the publication subsequently retracts and corrects what they've said.
Well, and... we are not going to sit here and pretend that Sarah Palin isn't a dum-dum, right?
No, But she has the same right to not be slandered and accused of murder as everyone else in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying that it's, like you said, it. I feel as though someone in her position, which at this point, I mean, I had almost forgotten Sarah Palin existed, to be perfectly frank. But someone in her position should be able to look at that and know that she has no case. Like, I don't, like, part of me thinks that this whole lawsuit was even just to put herself back into the, you know, the public sphere. Like,
probably, because I don't think she's making any money at the moment.
Yeah.
And,
like, it's a combination of boredom and missing the limelight and missing money.
And actually, I misspoke a moment ago, because as a public figure, she has less of a right to not be libeled. She has less libel protection than a private citizen does. Mm. Her argument was that the New York Times acted knowingly and willfully and with malice.
Yeah, I was going to say
that connection.
That was the important thing with the judge throwing out the case, was saying that the New York Times in no way acted maliciously. That was the specific wording that the judge used. And
there's going to be some debate about that. And Sarah Palin gets to walk away with her head held high and say, look, here's the courts backing up the corrupt mainstream media. Trump voters jump up and down and dump money out of their pockets. Everybody's happy.
My head already hurts thinking about it.
Best drivers. Yep. Best drivers in America.
Cannot be Los Angeles. I don't know this, but I'm going to guess Ohio.
No. You wouldn't guess this unless you heard the story.
I was going to say, really? Because, like, when I drove through Ohio, everyone's driving, like, really well.
And you're not... I had terrible times in Ohio. And you're not going to believe it when I tell you. The best drivers, according to SmartAsset.com, were surveyed states to see who had the most auto insurance. So that was one criteria. How many drivers have insurance? Mm-hmm. Which
That's
states,
not required everywhere? That's
which
crazy.
States have the lowest DUI rates? It's a good measure of safety. Which states have the fewest people killed per 100 million vehicle miles? And how many times people search for parking tickets on Google? I don't know what that last one has to do with anything.
Yeah, that's...
Because you're not driving, you're parking.
Yeah, you're parking. And I don't get how that has to do with driving.
Around here, everybody parks wherever they want, as we know.
So I guess parking is the end point of when you drive somewhere.
Based on those four criteria.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm terrified for what you're
about
to say.
Best drivers in America. The best drivers in America. I can't. No one is going to believe me when I say this. No one is going to believe that this is true. This is from the internet. This is smartasset.com. This isn't the first time that they've done this survey. And according to smartasset.com, best drivers in America are right here in Massachusetts.
No way.
We are the best drivers in America.
Oh my God.
I gotta believe.
That's the best news I've heard in so long.
I gotta believe that Go Boston.
That
some townie from Taunton came up with the criteria for this thing. Because we finished number one. We finished number one in every category.
That's absurd.
We have...
What are people in Montana doing?
We have more people with insurance than any other state in the country. It's mandatory in Massachusetts.
I was
going to
say,
it's
mandatory here.
We have more people with insurance.
I didn't even realize it wasn't mandatory other places. I just thought everyone was supposed to have insurance.
We have the lowest rate of DUI arrests. And I think...
That's the funniest one.
I think you could make an argument that we have a low rate of DUI arrests because maybe there isn't as much enforcement.
I was going to say, it's got to be about the police being crappy.
No, I'm not going to say the police are crappy.
No, crappy is the wrong word. I'm sorry. I love the police. You guys really took care of us at the rally 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like the police just kind of being like, eh.
But it's, you know, other states, it's like constant checkpoints and like every weekend they got the highway shut down.
And we also have a lot more going, not to say that driving drunk isn't an important thing to not do and isn't an important thing to regulate, but we have a lot more going on than say like Ohio or, you know, there's other things that the police need to lend their resources and their energy.
We've also got a lot of Irish around here. They're skilled behind the wheel. We have the lowest rate of fatalities.
My goodness, I really can't believe that.
We have the lowest rate of fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles, which I will tell you is because nobody is going anywhere. anywhere you go, you're sitting in traffic, so you can't go fast enough to get killed unless you fall out of your car and somebody and run yourself over. And I don't know how we did on the parking tickets. I don't know where we finished on that one, but I'm guessing we Google parking tickets a lot here, especially anybody in Boston is probably Googling parking tickets constantly.
That one I think is really stupid because it, like, Googling parking tickets doesn't necessarily mean you're a good parker. It means you're trying to figure out how to pay your parking ticket.
We also have snow, which keeps people from driving to the bar for a few months of the year.
That's fair. Well, speak for yourself.
New England is the safest.
Even though I haven't been here for a winter, I'm kind of nervous about it.
New England as a whole has the best drivers in the country. Because Massachusetts was first. Vermont came in second. Nobody lives up there, so New Hampshire somehow finishes third. Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I would say I had someone rear end me in New Hampshire, and he got out of the car and said, "Please don't take down my information. Yeah. I don't have insurance, and I'm pretty sure there's a warrant out for me. Yeah. I'll give you $50." I was like,
Maine was fourth.
All right.
Maine came in fourth, and Connecticut was sixth behind Utah. The worst drivers in America?
California?
No.
It's got to be California.
Nope.
They've at least got to be bottom three.
No, they're not even in the top. They're not even in the bottom five. Worst drivers in America? Florida. Where else? Florida.
Of course.
Followed by, at number two, Mississippi. Second worst, Louisiana. Third worst, Tennessee. The fourth worst, Brian Joyce is down there, so he's contributing to that. And
hi, Brian.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma made the list because one of every four drivers does not have insurance.
Yowza.
Don't get in an accident in Oklahoma.
Huh. And if you do, take lots of pictures of the person in their car.
North Dakota leads the United States in DUI arrests at 11.65 per 1,000 drivers.
What?
Now,
that is an insane amount.
To put that in perspective.
I mean, even though how many people are there in North Dakota?
That is 10 times the rate in Massachusetts. they write up DUIs. So I got to imagine.
I mean, what else are you going to do in North Dakota, though?
I got to imagine North Dakota on a Friday night is just wall-to-wall checkpoints everywhere you go.
Yeah, probably.
And if you even think
it's
of driving
drunk.
Good
to know, actually, because I do plan on going there someday.
Don't drink while you're driving. Mississippi leads the nation in fatalities, 1.70 per 100 million miles driven. Kentucky is number two, 1.56. So there you go. That's what you need to know if you're going to be driving in other parts of the country. Stay out of Florida. Don't get in a car accident.
I mean, stay out of Florida is kind of good advice no matter what you're talking about.
Stay out of Florida. Don't get in a car accident in Oklahoma. And don't drive drunk in North Dakota, kids. You're going to jail. 855-915-9636. When we come back, Harvey. It's still
not
going
Henry,
on.
Not Henry, not Harold.
Yeah, Harvey, still going on down there. We'll take a look at what's happening, what could have been done, what might have been done here on WMFO Medford.
What?
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be hanging out with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love calls, so please call us at 855-915-9636. For those of you who like the letter parts better, it's 855-915-WMFO. And we're talking about quite an apt song you chose, Derek. We're talking about the rain that's happening in one of our larger states.
One of the most devastating storms in human history, or at least in our recorded recent history. Hurricane Harvey blew onto the area north Rockport, the area north of Corpus Christi on the Texas coastline, last Friday night.
Yeah, it's...
Parts of Houston are still getting rain from the storm 5 days later. And I was one of those people that saw all the projections for this and people talking about, oh, you're going to get 50 inches of rain. And I'm like, no way. This is hyperbole. This is nonsense. The computers are wrong. Well, here's some totals for you, okay? Cedar Bayou, 51.88 inches of rain.
My goodness.
Dayton, 49.23 inches. South Houston... 44.91 inches. The main Houston forecast office for AccuWeather, that's where these numbers come from, 43.38 inches. Corpus Christi, which they thought was going to get the brunt of the storm, the storm actually went a little bit north of there, got 6.23 inches. So that's the difference. If you're on the north side of that line versus the south side of that line.
Yeah.
Katy, which was on the north side of that line, but then the storm went past and kind of stalled over Houston, they got 31.23 inches. Now, the double whammy that is going to hit places like Katy and possibly Corpus Christi is that all of that flood water
needs to go somewhere.
Is eventually going to make its way down to the Gulf.
Yeah.
And the flooding may spread southward to the Gulf. This is by no means over.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel that that's what happens anytime a natural disaster hits, is that the disaster itself isn't the whole disaster. Like, even when it's passed, there's still... It's similar to, I mean, the most concrete example of that is when there's an earthquake and then there's a tsunami.
Right.
It's like the earthquake is over, but then... something inevitably happens afterwards.
And the news is there for a day, and they're like, oh, look at all the destruction. And then you go on to the next thing, and you're like, oh, that's over. Like,
yeah.
This is a similar kind of situation. Those floodwaters are going to be there for a week.
Oh, yeah.
The damage
is just going to keep going.
Parts of Louisiana, which is being hit by the remnants of this tropical, because it went back out to sea.
Well, and that's what's crazy, too, is that they're referring to it as a tropical storm.
Well, it is now.
But there are people who are arguing that it wasn't a hurricane.
Well, it was a hurricane when it hit Texas.
Oh,
and then it left Texas, went back out into the Gulf.
And was like, hey, Louisiana, we know how much you love us.
Yeah.
So
strengthened back up to a tropical storm and then said, you know what? Let's go mess with Louisiana. And went up that way. And it's eventually going to head into the central part of the South down there. So this is going to be going for another few days before this thing finally goes away and stops dropping water on everybody.
And there's already been, I believe, last time I checked, 18 people had passed.
I think we're up to 24.
Or just 24.
I think 24 is the new number. 17 missing.
And this includes a family of 6 that got trapped in a van.
25 people, excuse me.
Oh, my goodness.
But let's put that in some kind of perspective. Okay. Roughly 8 million people live in the area.
In the greater Houston area.
That was affected by this. Mm. And one of the things that we kept hearing about in the first couple of days as everybody boating out of the flooded areas was all over the TV was everybody asking, why didn't they evacuate? Why didn't Houston evacuate? Should Houston have evacuated? Mayor Sylvester Turner went on CNN the other night and said, here's why we didn't evacuate. We have 6.5 million people. Where are they going to go?
I'm calling bull on that, though.
Where are you? But he's got a point.
He has a point, but he also, where are they going to go? When my brother was at Tulane during Hurricane Katrina, there are millions of people in that area of Louisiana. They had them evacuate. They shut down every other route. They had the highways. Both sides were going out. So, like, it's a 4-lane highway on either side. They just had all of them. They had police directing so that people could get on the wrong side of the road to drive out to Texas.
Same thing they do in the Carolinas when the big storms. But here's the difference. Tulane and New Orleans and all of that part of Louisiana are below sea level. And they're also below Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River. All of that stuff is held up by levees, and they're basically sitting in a bowl, so that when the storm surge comes
flat.
But Houston isn't on the coast.
But nonetheless,
Houston's 40 miles inland.
Yeah, but I mean that whole 40 miles is flat. If there's going to be a storm surge, it's not. It doesn't have any hills to go up. I've been there.
I'm not arguing.
It's like my arm straightened out.
I'm not arguing this.
Sorry, I just tried to illustrate it by straightening out my arm and then realize you people can only hear me.
I'm not arguing that it's not flat. What I'm saying is it's a little bit like, because I think I'm right in my math on this. It's a little bit like there's going to be a hurricane that hits in Boston. So we're going to evacuate Framingham. It's more like Worcester. We're going to evacuate Worcester because there's going to be a hurricane in
you're
Boston.
Closer with Framingham.
No, because Framingham's only like 20 miles outside of the city. It is. I do that trip a lot. Worcester's...
Ew, why do you go to Framingham?
Because I got friends out there.
Sorry, I'm just kidding. Framingham, I love you.
Framingham's not as bad a place as it used to be.
That is true.
And Natick is nice.
They have a good bakery.
There's going to be flooding in Boston, so let's evacuate Worcester. Well, you sit there and you're like, you're 45 miles away from the coast. Why would you do that? The point that you make is right, but nobody, I don't think anybody believed there was going to be this much rain.
With weather, I mean, it's weird to call a hurricane weather, but it is weather. With weather in general, that's always kind of the Murphy's Law of it, isn't it? Where, you know, I remember growing up, I grew up around here, for those of you who don't know, but I grew up around here, and sometimes they would cancel school the night before because we were supposed to get a huge blizzard the next day, and then we would get a dusting, and they'd be like, why did we cancel school?
Right. And the kids would be like, yay!
And then they wouldn't cancel school, and we'd get 8 inches of snow. Yeah. Like, it, I feel like it's a, if he had, ironically, if he had evacuated, I bet every, like, they wouldn't have gotten more than a quote unquote, like, dusting of hurricane.
Not necessarily,
but I'm just saying that it's one of those, do you do the huge, enormous undertaking of getting millions of people to evacuate, even though maybe nothing will happen? Or do you not, and kind of roll the dice and hope nothing happens?
We've never seen a storm do this before.
I know, but if there's anything about being alive in this day and age, it's that you need to entertain the possibility that absolutely anything is possible.
I am going to back up the mayor in this one. And I think obviously the death toll is going to go up. We know the death toll is going to go up. It's inevitable that it's going to go up. But right now, you're talking about the city of Houston itself, 6.5 million people. That's almost the population of Massachusetts. Okay. What do you do with 6.5 million people?
Oh, I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice if you were in the second largest state in the country and had plenty of places that are not flooded to bring them?
What are you going to stick them in the desert somewhere? Like, go stick them on a mountain? You can't do that because people expect that they're going to have food, a roof over their head, and running water.
Bring them to a campsite. There's plenty of places. If they could find the thing, like you said, you were right, where Louisiana, New Orleans is below sea level, so it made much more sense for them to be evacuated.
And you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, not 6.5 million.
There were at least 1 million, 2 million people that had to leave Louisiana as a result of Hurricane Katrina. Second of all,
after the fact, yes.
During the fact.
Well, but a lot of them didn't, because there were still a lot of people hanging out trying to figure out, oh my God, how do we get out of here?
But it was a voluntary evacuation. That's the thing, is he should have at least, because there were, I don't think that a mandatory evacuation would have made sense. Absolutely. Totally with
parts
you on
of the
that
coast
one.
They did, because they knew it was going to be bad, and they were like, you get out of here or you're on your own.
But so many people, like you said, they never expected this to happen. They particularly never expected this to happen in Houston. And with that in mind, so many residents of Houston and the surrounding areas never in a million years would think on their own, hey, and I'm not calling them stupid, I'm just saying it would never occur to them to say, hey, maybe we should get out of here. Maybe we should leave. If the mayor says, you don't have to go, but we are strongly recommending that you do, a lot more people wouldn't have ended up trapped in vans under an overpass. A lot of people
You're going to get that no matter what.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Sometimes it was a cop on his way to work
and drowned. Yeah.
But my point being that, and I'm not saying that nobody would have died if he had a voluntary evacuation, but at least some more people would have had the idea planted in their head, like, this is a big deal. This is going to be an unprecedented event. It's probably a good idea for you to leave. You don't have to leave, but me, the person you elected to lead all of you, is recommending that you do. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see how it plays out, but right now I have
my thoughts and prayers and all of that.
Absolutely. I have to say, I agree with the mayor's decision. I think they've done a good job in managing this so far. It hasn't descended into the kind of chaos that Katrina did. But again,
that is true.
We'll see what happens in the coming weeks. If you want to give money to somebody, because we're Americans and we see tragedy and we immediately open our wallets, please give your money to the American Red Cross.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't give it to some clown on the internet. Don't give it to somebody who's calling you and saying, we need help.
The Red Cross are the people who know how to do this.
If you want to make a local donation, you can give to the United Way of Houston, and you can find their contact information online. But the American Red Cross, I'd say if you want to give money to J.J. Watt, give money to J.J. Watt. Because he's...
That is the one organization other than yeah. the American Red Cross that we will endorse.
J.J. Watt doesn't need the money, and he's in Texas, so he's probably going to go spend it on people immediately to help where he can.
I hope J.J. Watt is taking all of his fans out for a beer. I hope that's what's happening in Texas right now.
Everybody's going
to
be...
Or at least, you know... riding a boat to bring people beer.
Everybody's going to be in the shelters wearing J.J. Watt jerseys is what's going to happen. But if you're looking for a way to help, we cannot recommend this enough. Please give to the American Red Cross. Please give to the United Way of Houston. If you want to give to J.J. Watt, you know.
Go with God.
That's not a bad way to go, but that's where we're drawing the line. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath the blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The summer wind, the summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.
FM WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And we are about to bring you into What's Hot, which is our favorite things of the week. Beginning September 3rd, Target's brand new line of inexpensive wines at just $5 a bottle can be found on shelves at over 1,100 national locations. While the retail superstore already sells beer and wine, the debut of its quote-unquote California Roots label marks Target's first exclusive alcohol line. It will feature Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio, Moscato, and Cabernet Sauvignon, as well as a reg blend. Look out to Buck Chuck.
They should call it Five Buck Chuck.
I was going to say, they should call it Five Buck Targ.
Nah. Yeah, $5 Target. Yeah. Eh. Not buying my
I'll work on it.
Not buying my wine at Target. Sorry. You know what I might buy at Target, though, is Star Wars merchandise. Folks, Force Friday 2 is this Friday, starting at 12:01 a.m. Stores are going to be open, offering you your first chance to purchase lots and lots of Star Wars merchandise. every Toys R Us is going to be open at midnight. If you're going to Target, only the stores in Danvers and Woburn will be open at midnight. And select Walmart locations will be open at midnight as well. If you're looking for good free giveaways on this one, you're really kind of out of luck. Toys R Us is giving away Funko Pop t-shirts, not figures, t-shirts, and posters.
Who wants a t-shirt of a toy?
FYE, if you can find one of them, there's still one at the Pheasant Lane Mall where the past still lives, is going to have an exclusive Funko Pop figure. Your best deal, go to the Lego store on Friday. They're not open at midnight. They'll be open regular hours on Friday. Head in there. They will have an exclusive Scarif Trooper figure when you spend $50 or more. That's your pick for Force Friday. The rest of it, really kind of lame. Don't do that.
To be fair, everything is awesome.
Slap shuffle on the iPod.
Now the thing that happened, the craziest story of the last week, in our opinion. University of Tampa professor of sociology was fired yesterday after he suggested in a tweet Sunday that Texans deserved Hurricane Harvey because of their support for Donald Trump. Story tweeted Sunday, quote, "I don't believe in instant karma, but this kind of feels like it for Texans. Hopefully this will help them realize the GOP doesn't care about them." University spokesman Eric Cardenas said in a statement that Kenneth Story was fired after the school weathered an outpouring of online outrage over the comments. Yeah, that's karma, dude. That's what karma is. You getting fired. That's absurd.
South Carolina. Players waiting to tee off at Tiga K Golf Club thought they saw a dead deer on the course. Another person thought they saw someone having a medical issue. In fact, it was 19-year-old Dakota Payne and 24-year-old Kiernan Hennessy having sex on the golf course.
Get it.
The responding officer had to